my friend. We are all interested in the future, for that is where you and I are going to spend the rest of our lives. And remember, my friend, future events such as these will affect you in the future. You are interested in the unknown, the mysterious, the unexplainable. That is why you are here. And now for the first time.
Oh, thank you, great Criswell. I needed you to wake me up today. Now for the first time. You know, the question I'm going to pose to Frank Bilardo, who is filling in yet again for the absent Dr. Steve, and it can't be helped. You know, our apologies. There are reasons which we won't go into. We were talking off mic before we started about sleep.
Or lack thereof.
And here's a shameless self-promoting plug. I have very little sleep because as we record this, I have about 4 hours sleep. I was out late last night. We were having a final dress rehearsal for one of the funniest shows. If you have a certain bent, and I think everybody does to a degree, I've met very few people who don't like the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yep.
Everybody thinks of it as the Tim Curry movie. It really made his career. But what they don't know is it started off originally as a play out in Los Angeles and then became a movie. And then it really took off, became a cult movie, and people right. have been doing it in theaters.
Ever since
the early, mid-70s, whenever it first came out. I think it was mid-70s. And it is quite a show. There's no doubt about that. And now we are physically based, the two radio stations that allow us to broadcast PsyQuest here, your host, John Hamill, by the way, is based in New Jersey. So if you are New Jersey-based, northern New Jersey-based, to be more precise, northern to central New Jersey, it is playing at Pax Amicus Castle Theater.
Yep.
It opens October 5th, only runs on Saturdays. So when you hear this, the first show is already run. It only runs on Saturdays through October, and the first Saturday and Sunday afternoon at 3 in November. And that's at 23 Lake Drive in Bud Lake, New Jersey. And I have always said that Bud Lake is the place where the men are men and the sheep are on Valium. That's my. No, I'm only kidding. I'm very much kidding. I lived there for quite a long time, and that's where I raised my kids, who are now much older than I'd like them to be. But here is this. To get the health benefits of a good night's sleep, is it just the number of hours that counts? What if sleep is induced by a sleeping pill or is stressful because of a nightmare?
Well, I think that there are other factors. I don't think it's just simply putting in time.
I don't either. I think the more time you are able to put in is more beneficial to you.
Correct.
Because they have found out that people who are sleep deprived, as I feel now, is equivalent to having almost double blood level alcohol.
Really?
In thinking and reaction time. Yes.
Well, I must be in terrible shape. Yeah.
We shouldn't be on the road.
We shouldn't be on the radio.
there you go. But I think I agree with you because there have been times when I have gotten, for me, I didn't wake up to take a whiz in the middle of the night. Not one, where I normally take two.
Right.
I haven't got up once, and I've slept solid for 5 hours, and I felt as refreshed, if not more refreshed, than if I got 7, 7.5. Now, 8 for me is a rarity.
Same here.
That is extremely rare.
I think never.
Yeah.
Never.
Occasionally when I'm on vacation, that happens. Maybe when I'm retired, it will happen. I don't know. My internal biological time clock is so attuned to begin waking up between 5 and 6 o'clock. I've been doing that since I was a kid.
Yeah, and I'm 4:30 to 5.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it started off back in the day, what children today know as a routine for high school of starting between 7 and 7:30 in the morning. That was brand new. when I was in high school. That had never been done before. School used to be about 9 o'clock
to
about
3. 8:30,
9 o'clock to about 3 o'clock.
That's right.
And then they went to what they called the flex hours to accommodate the expanding population. And I started at like 7:15 in the morning, so I had to get up really early. Consequently, since then, every job I've ever had required me to be up really early.
Sure.
So I'm just physically and physiologically and emotionally so conditioned. Now, to answer the question.
Here we go.
Dr. Anna C. Krieger is the medical director of the Weill Cornell Center for Sleep Medicine at New York Presbyterian Hospital, says, while duration is important, the quality and timing of sleep are also critical to a good night's rest. Optimal sleep duration varies widely, depending on a person's, here you go, genetic makeup, underlying health conditions, and daytime activities, among factors. An individual's natural sleep rhythm and actual schedule may be poorly aligned, leading to inadequate sleep. Sleep specialists often suggest that a born early riser or night owl adjust your schedule. As for quality, Dr. Krieger says sleep disorders can fragment sleep in ways that may not be obvious, except that the sufferer never feels well rested. Nightmares or other sleep disturbances that interfere with sleep consolidation or the sleep-wake cycle leads to unrefreshing sleep. Medications may also interfere with sleep. Because of chemical processes, medication-induced sleep may never be as refreshing as natural sleep.
Believe that.
So sleeping pills should be used only under medical supervision. So I believe that totally. I have never been prescribed a sleeping pill. I have taken OTC sleep aids.
Yep.
But even the, quote, natural herbs, melatonin,
yep,
which people take for other things, and I can't imagine. They take it for other things for the body, and I do not have the litany of other things that it is good for. But there are some people that take two or three of those pills a day. I don't know how they do it.
Yep.
One melatonin knocks me out pretty good and leaves me groggy for half the day afterwards. It upsets my digestive process and everything. So kudos to people. I would rather be a little tired. I have found that it's better to go through the day tired and deal with that than to be tired and groggy and have the body's mechanism
all
out of
screwed
whack.
Up. Yeah, yeah. I fully agree with you. And I don't know if I'm, I guess, you know, based on the research, I'm just not in good shape. Although I feel it, so.
Well, you may be. Some people don't need it. Other people do. The beautiful Carmen Wiles of Baltimore, Maryland, is, to my, I consider her possibly the greatest Olympic champion of sleep the world has ever produced.
Ah, she hasn't met. Oh, she has met Valerie.
Yeah.
Okay.
She can sleep 8 hours a day and wake up, have a full breakfast, cup of coffee, and if time granted her the ability to go back to sleep for another 4 hours, do it and fall asleep.
There you go.
Could fall asleep any time of the day or night and sleep on a rock or a feather down bed. Doesn't matter.
I have the same wife.
The same wife in a different
same
body.
Wife. Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. Wow, that's a pretty good food for thought.
Well, I have something that's related that I'd like to jump into, and then I'll give you some time here.
Oh.
Scientists believe they have discovered a new reason why we need sleep.
Keep me awake.
It replenishes brain cells.
I like that.
Sleep ramps up the production of cells that go on to make an insulating material known as myelin that protects our brain circuitry. The findings, so far only in mice, but they do share more DNA with us than a banana, could lead to insights about sleep's role in brain repair and growth, as well as the disease MS. The work was published in the journal Neuroscience. Dr. Chiara Sorelli and colleagues from the University of Wisconsin found that the production rate of the myelin-making cells, immature oligodendrocytes, doubled as mice slept. The increase was most marked during the type of sleep that is associated with dreaming, REM, and was driven by genes. In contrast, genes involved in cell death and stress responses were turned on when the mice were forced to stay awake.
Ah!
Interesting.
Wow, yeah, there you go.
Precisely why we need to sleep has baffled scientists for centuries. It's obvious we need sleep to feel rested and for our mind to function well, but the biological processes have only started to be uncovered. Dr. Cirelli said for a long time, sleep researchers focused on how the activity of nerve cells differs when animals are awake versus when they are asleep. Now it is clear that the way other supporting cells in the nervous system operate also changes significantly depending on whether the animal is asleep or awake. They say their findings suggest that sleep loss might aggravate some symptoms of multiple sclerosis. That's the disease that damages myelin.
Right.
In MS, the body's immune system attacks and destroys myelin coating of nerves in the brain and the spinal cord. Future studies could look at whether or not sleep affects the symptoms of MS. Her team is also interested in testing whether lack of sleep, especially during adolescence, has long-term consequences for the brain.
Ooh.
Sleep appears necessary for our nervous systems to work properly. Deep sleep coincides with the release of growth hormone in children and young adults. Many of the body's cells show increased production and reduced breakdown of proteins during deep sleep. Since proteins are the building blocks needed for cell growth and for repair of damage from factors like stress and ultraviolet rays, deep sleep may truly be beauty sleep.
Wow. That's fascinating stuff.
Yes, it is.
Still don't know where that leaves me.
Me neither, because both of us don't get a lot of sleep,
no.
And we're beautiful.
Magnificent. Perfect specimens, virtually. You know, it's funny, going back to the over-the-counter drugs, I had a bout, and I had to do a hospital stay. I had a stent, you know. It was a I had a heart event, thank God, not a heart attack. And they found that I had, I needed to get some a couple arteries expanded a bit, so I've had a stent or two put in, and you need to remain motionless for about 8 hours afterwards, or
yeah.
You can blow open your femoral artery or something like that. They put some pressure on it and keep it closed. Well, they gave me an Ambien to sleep.
Yeah.
And you see the ads and say you may cause craziness. Well, I went crazy. To this minute, I have no recollection of anything that happened, but apparently, I was a bit disturbed. I yanked out all of the IVs and things.
No kidding.
It took 4 security guards to get me back. They had me talk to my wife to try to calm me down. She just said, give them something. Knock them out.
Knock them out.
And apparently, they did. But to this minute, all I know...
You have no memory of that.
I know. And they told me that I needed to get to the parking lot to catch my helicopter to go to work. That's what I kept telling them. And I have zero recollection. So, needless to say, no Ambien for Frank.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I'm done with Ambien, that's for sure.
Yeah, when I've taken those things, as I've said, they really upset... I mean, they don't just... I guess they slow down the body to make it rest, but it slows down all the processes of the body.
Uh-huh.
You know, your digestive system, the muscles don't...
Function
quite correctly.
Everything. I know what you mean. It just doesn't make sense.
For me. So I know, and I know other people who suffer from a very bad insomnia who get migraines from it.
Yep.
From the insomnia. And they will take, I don't know what they take, but they have prescribed sleeping medications. And they have told me that at times they have doubled and tripled their dose and still not gotten to sleep. I can't imagine it.
No. Why would you take the second and third one, you know?
Yeah.
You know, you read the package, over-the-counter stuff tells you what you should do. And don't,
yeah, this is not over-the-counter. This is prescribed.
Oh, the prescription stuff. And then it'll take more?
Yeah.
Oh, that's weird. Yeah, I don't want to do that.
Me neither.
I'd rather stay away because I can get more accomplished.
Yeah.
Hey, just some bullet facts here. The new 5S or 5C, the Apple 5C. Apple sold 9 million, both combined, 5S and 5C iPhones in the first 3 days, of course, soaring the stock up 5%. On the bad side, the iOS 7, which I'm sure we've all upgraded to it by now.
Oh, my God. I have the IO 702. I already got the push out for that.
Yeah, same here.
And it's still burning the battery faster than it used to, but much slower than the old one.
Yeah, I'm fortunate. Well, I'm a Droid person for the my cell phones, but I do have a couple of iPads, and it takes forever to upgrade them, but we did it. In any event, the IO 7 had a spoof ad that promised waterproofing with the update. A bunch of people ruined their phones.
No.
You
mean Apple deliberately put out a spoof ad?
No, somebody did a spoof ad on IO 7, and people bought into it. So
IO 7 will waterproof your phone?
Yeah,
and they believed it.
Yeah, that's...
They shouldn't have a driver's license.
They shouldn't be allowed to walk. Hey, have you heard about the Satis Fries, Burger King, in their attempt to get healthy?
I've heard something vaguely about it. Tell me about it.
They basically they have a new product for French fries now called Satis Fries, and it's a 30% reduction in the normal calorie count and fat for the French fries. I don't know how they taste. I don't do French fries anymore. So Burger King now has a 30% reduction, so if anybody out there can find out,
I must say that I do enjoy French fries once in a while. I don't eat them a lot. I know when the beautiful Carmen Wiles of Baltimore, Maryland makes them at home, she bakes them. She doesn't fry
them.
Yeah,
that's great.
Bacon is good.
Yep.
I don't know how they make them in the fast food or regular restaurants. I buy them in regular restaurants. I'll tell you this in a second. I don't eat fast food stuff. Here's my thing. I don't know why all French fries can't be baked, number one.
I agree. Oh, yeah. Speed. Speed. That's it.
Yeah, it's
in
speed.
In a nutshell.
Now, the thing with fast food restaurants, I know this is true because I've studied it. We've talked about it on SideQuest in the past. Their food, you are much less likely to ever catch a bacterial infection from the food in a fast food restaurant than you would from a store or a regular restaurant.
Right.
Because of turnover.
Well, that's true.
They're getting fresh food in all the time.
Yep.
But there's something in their process that is not good. Now, we were on vacation last week, and I was getting a healthy breakfast. I was getting a Danish cup of coffee and a fruit cup from a local store while we were away. But one day... We both felt like
Egg McMuffin.
A breakfast sandwich, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I got a bacon, cheese, and egg biscuit.
Okay.
From McDonald's. I'll name them. I ate it. It tasted great, of course.
Yep.
But it upset my stomach later. And I said, I know why. I know that when we make biscuits at home and you place them on a napkin or on a tray, the napkin is not saturated with grease. Theirs was.
Oh, yeah.
How do they make it? I mean, what do they put in it? I mean, why would you do it? Maybe it makes it rise quicker. Maybe it cooks it faster, 2 seconds faster.
Well, maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe it's a preservative they use because most of their food is frozen when they get it.
Yes.
I'm not sure fresh is the real word. It's turnover, yes. But from where and for how long?
When I say fresh, I was talking about the meats.
Right.
The ground meat they use for their hamburgers. I know that they, get it shipped from the slaughterhouses.
Yeah.
Packagers. And they get it, and it's in and out of their place in a day.
Oh, yeah.
They don't have to freeze anything
overnight.
And I think
same with their salads. So if you do their salads, which I do. Time to time in an emergency.
What I always used to like, I think my favorite item from the fast food places, whether it be Burger King or McDonald's, I always like the malteds.
Oh,
Strawberry chocolate
the
shakes.
The shakes, yeah.
Boy, they're tasty buggers. But if you eat one of them, I don't think you need to eat anything else. You're going to get your day's worth of calories right there.
Oh, yeah, so I haven't done that in decades.
Yeah, me neither.
So.
But anyhow, when we got this sandwich last week, it reminded me why it was the first time I've gone to a fast food restaurant in probably 6 years.
Because of what was remaining on the napkin.
It upsets my stomach,
Well, I have been... I think they're making some attempts. I mean, the McDonald's does have the Egg White Delight, which is an egg white
patty. Yeah, that's new. I heard about that.
And I do that, and it's tiny. It's not huge.
Oh, okay.
So I will have one of those without cheese. I'll ask for it without cheese.
And who are the people? I don't watch much TV, but occasionally I'll see something, or I'll see an ad on in a magazine. Is it somebody making some sort of a sandwich now that has French fries on it? They call it the French fry burger or something like
that? Oh, I haven't seen that. Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah, with the instead of a roll, French fries as the top and bottom roll. No, somebody's doing that.
Oh, are they really?
Yeah, somebody was doing that.
No, I think this one actually had French fries on a roll, and there's a little girl who's saying, Mommy, they stole my idea or something like that.
No, I haven't seen that. Yeah. That's funny. Hey, chocolate. For chocolate lovers out
there. Oh, it's so good for you.
The cost of 1 kilogram of chocolate is the highest it's ever been, up 45% from 2007. It's now $12.25 a kilogram.
Wow.
Yeah, I guess that's a lot of money.
Well, can I interject? You
please.
Know, you bring up these great items, and we can start a conversation.
That's right.
That's a good thing about sleep-deprived SideQuest conversationalist here, DJs. And we thank you for listening, you know, to this edition of SideQuest here at homegrownradionj.org and chestnutradio.com. They are both fine stations with lots of great music and two fantastic station managers, let me tell you, Todd and Ralph. Great guys.
Yeah, huh?
But
they also have Mozart the Motorhead, don't they?
They do.
What a great, DJ is the wrong word, but host.
Yeah.
What a great host there.
Yeah, I like the guy.
That would be John Hannell, by the way.
I like the guy who does. Same name. It's amazing. Same voice, but we're not related. Chocolate. I love chocolate, and I think chocolate is good. But, you know, I was talking to these fellows that I know, these two guys. They're from Mumbai in India. And there's a lot of things they don't know. And they, on my day job, management likes to do little perks, you know, like pats on the head to make it, you know, say, hey, good job, good job. And they gave out Cracker Jacks.
Okay.
And those guys had never seen a Cracker Jack
before.
And I said, oh, my God, they've only been out like 150 years.
Yep.
I said, but that's okay. It's a cultural thing. It's been around in this country for over 100 years. And they were shocked. They didn't know what it was. They had never tried caramel popcorn with peanuts.
Right.
So they were enjoying that, and we were talking chocolate. And they said that, and this is funny, I have tasted some of the best chocolate in the world, gourmet chocolates, things like that. But they said, oh, nothing's like American chocolate. American chocolate and American ice cream.
No.
And I've heard that from other people.
Not gelato.
Oh, gelato now. That's... Yeah. It's pretty good stuff. But American, you know what they meant is the American soft ice cream, like the Dairy Queens,
custard. Yeah, soft ice cream.
But we were talking about chocolate, and I said, you know, when all is said and done, I've tasted them all, and I appreciate them. Maybe it's a thing with culture, but I think it's really simply a thing with my palate. I've heard it's true with a lot of people. Give me a good old Hershey bar any day of the week.
Milk chocolate or dark?
Either one.
Yeah, I'm the same.
You know, with almonds, the M&M Mars Company, Snickers, Milky Ways, M&M's, M&M Peanuts.
Stop. I haven't had them in decades.
Stuff's fantastic.
I know, but you know, you're just a perfect specimen, so you can spoil yourself on some of that stuff. It goes right to my gut.
You know, speaking of guts, there's only one thing I shouldn't say one thing. One thing in particular I regret about getting older is I would say I eat a fifth of what I ate 25 years ago.
Yes. In my case, 10, 15 years ago.
And the body still, as you get older, the muscles sag, the support system, the body wants to put the weight on the middle.
In the middle, and
it
I'm
doesn't
at the
matter
gym
what you
every
eat
every single day.
6 days a week for me.
Seven.
Four aerobic, three of weightlifting.
Yep.
And no eating in between meals. I never eat in between meals.
It's just not fair.
It isn't.
Not fair.
It isn't. I remember the days when I would take a bike ride with my friend Wayne. We'd do like 20, 25 miles, and we would eat a Sicilian pie and a liter of Coke.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Not
gain
an ounce.
I remember in the Boy Scouts, it was a big treat after the meeting. We would go to the local pizza joint, and my buddy and I, for $5 total, would share a large pizza and a Coke.
Yeah.
and eat the whole damn
thing. Do you remember the days of the 10-cent slice growing up?
I do, yep. And the 12-cent hamburger at McDonald's and the incoming Geno's and what became KFC and stuff.
I grew up in Lake Stockholm, folks. Yep. Lake Stockholm, New Jersey. It was part of a archipelago, if you will, of lake communities comprising five lakes that were known as Stockholm. And we had our own zip code. And I lived in the great Lake Stockholm, which I believe was the first one of the five lakes, settled by the Dutch back in the late 1600s.
Huh.
So we used to get on Route 23, which at that time was a single-lane highway.
Wasn't that Hamburg, the old Hamburg Turnpike?
Yes.
The old Hamburg
Part
Turnpike.
Of it was the old Hamburg Turnpike, once you got down around Bloomingdale.
Sure.
And we would fly down the highway late at night to Goodies before they would close in Butler, New Jersey.
Goodies.
Where you could get 10 hamburgers for a dollar, and you get your little bag of 50-cent hamburgers and pop them in. And
oh, my goodness.
No more.
No.
Actually, they were about the size of White Castles.
Right, sure. So now you can get a 10-pack of sliders.
Yeah.
More than a buck, but nevertheless. And you can get them frozen, grocery stores now.
So. Oh, the good old days.
Hey, postage stamps, 49 cents
going
in January.
Up.
Yep, 3-cent raise. You know what? People can complain about that, but I will never, because it's to me, it's unfathomable that you can actually spend 49 or 50 cents and send something 3,000 miles away.
Yeah.
With pretty good reliability.
Yeah. And you know, when I used to collect stamps back in the 1960s when I was a mere stripling, back then I read something which was really interesting. One of the biggest scams, they don't do it anymore if you notice. They used to have what they would call airmail postage.
Right, right.
If you wanted to mail something out of state, you'd pay airmail postage.
Yep, airmail.
Or you had the option to, and they said, oh, it'll get there faster. And then I found out that anything that was traveling out of the state had to be loaded onto a postal plane
anyway. Yep, exactly right. Exactly right.
But and what they would do is to slow down the knowledgeable people who knew that. It would get there the same time if you put on an airmail stamp or a regular stamp. They'd just hold it. Because they would say, oh, if you're doing regular mail, it's going to take 3 to 5 days to get across the country. Airmail, it'll get there tomorrow.
Really?
They would just hold it.
I don't remember that. But it's still a great deal. In fact,
it is a great deal. And here's something else. With the idiotic government shutdown that we are still experiencing as we're broadcasting this now, a lot of people have come up to me and said, oh, I'm still getting my mail. How come? I said, why? Because you don't read, you don't investigate things, and you don't listen. They're standalone. They're not part of the federal government.
They have nothing to do with the federal government.
They have never been part of the federal government, and any problems that they have is, in spite of the fact they have nothing to do, and they've always been a standalone system, like Social Security, the federal government interferes with them.
Right. Right.
The only reason the Postal Service is in crisis mode financially
is
now
is because of the federal government.
The federal government forced them to take the excess funds they have and purchase annuities for 90 years for possible future employees.
I did not know that. So they have unfunded liabilities.
Yeah.
And that's why they're $8 billion in debt.
Exactly. They had that money and they were forced to spend it to provide benefits for employees that aren't even born yet.
Wow.
It's idiotic.
Wow. So,
I personally believe in a strong federal government. I believe in a federal government that should regulate things and restrict things and do things for its citizenry and lead. But I also believe that there is a lot of waste. And I do believe there is a lot of stupid interference. And that's an example of stupid interference.
Yeah, leave well enough alone.
It's working, so let's ruin it.
Yeah, there's something that works. Let's
make it as dysfunctional as our Congress.
There you go.
Okay, that's the end of the politics for today. Thanks for listening to SideQuest. We're past the halfway mark, and we're having a ball.
Oh, my God, we are.
Yeah, we're a little bit past the half.
Hey, on a little more somber note, how about an HIV progress report?
Okay.
A new UN analysis says more people are living with HIV in 2012 because they're receiving living with HIV It's 35.3 million people in 2012 because they're receiving life-saving therapy. Here are three positive takeaways. There's been a 33% drop in new cases to 2.3 million annually from 3.4 million in 2001.
Is that just in this country or worldwide?
This is worldwide.
Okay.
There is a 52% decrease in 2001 in the number of new HIV infections among children, down to 260,000.
I'm glad to
hear
that.
That's incredible, yeah. And there's a 30% decline to 1.6 million in AIDS-related deaths since the peak of 2.3 million in 2005. So, I mean, we're making some real progress. And you know, kudos to Bill Clinton and George Bush.
Yeah.
Two of them spent more money than anybody in trying to get a lot of that help over to Africa,
mm-hmm.
where I guess it all started with that stupid monkey, but stupid humans with stupid monkey tricks.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but...
That is good. That is good. Now, you know, speaking of monkeys, did you know that male orangutans have been found to share travel plans?
Travel plans?
The Sumatran swamplands.
JetBlue?
They've been tracking the orangutans. They've made surprising discoveries. They published it in the journal PLOS One, PLOS. Males make travel plans 24 hours in advance, sharing them with nearby orangutans by emitting long, loud calls that are heard half a mile away.
Huh.
Their cheek pads act as a funnel, amplifying their calls like a megaphone. Males emitted long calls, mostly facing the direction they traveled a few hours later, or even after a night's rest, said one of the researchers, Karen Isler of the Anthropological Institute and Museum in Zurich. Hearing a call, interested females might come closer to stay in contact, while non-dominant males flee to avoid a confrontation.
Huh.
The orangutans usually traveled about half a mile a day looking for fruit from trees. There are numerous examples of planning an animal species. A zoo chimpanzee, for example, was observed gathering stones and chunks of concrete before the zoo opened for later use as ammunition against visitors. In experiments, bonobos and chimpanzees were also found to select and store tools for future use.
Wow.
Western scrub jays and Eurasian jays are also known to plan in advance. Dr. Isler said the new study drove home the point that we should never underestimate these magnificent creatures and other animals.
I never would.
No.
Plus, they can beat us up.
Yeah. Yes, left in the wild without a weapon.
Yeah.
We're the weaker species. It's it's the mind that makes us superior.
Yes, we can outsmart them if we have the wherewithal to do that. Yep.
The one thing that bothers me about lack of knowledge, I see a lot of people riding their bikes and running with their dogs on a leash, and I wish they wouldn't do that. That is so unhealthy. One of the things that made us the...
For the dog?
For the dog. One of the things that has made us the superior hunter on planet Earth is our stamina.
Right.
We can run at a slow speed a long time.
Correct.
Longer than any other animal.
Right.
They can't.
Right. That's true.
They can't. They have to stop and rest, which is why if we had speed, you know, you'll see, I watch a lot of the nature channels I have in the past, and you'll see lions attacking, you know, the big cats.
Right.
And you'll see them chase after something and then stop.
Yep.
And like pant and like stare at it, keep it in there. They're stopping because they can't run any further.
They're done. Yeah.
They're spent. They have to restore their energy, get their energy back, allow all the chemicals and everything to settle in their bodies. We can run a long, long time, as evidenced by marathoners and super marathoners.
Yep.
And we that's our thing, is we're conditioned to outrun our prey, to keep running on them until eventually ancient hunters would very often not have a hard time. You know, if they didn't trap an animal, by the time they ran it to ground, it was defenseless. It just laid there and watched itself be killed.
Killed, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's another reason they use dogs, because dogs usually could outrun the larger animals.
Yes.
And if they chase them down, they'll get tired, give up, and then, as you said, just
now,
wait to
get... Now, dogs can recuperate pretty quick, but that long... I mean, I see so many dogs... you know, panting as
And I can't imagine why you would leash one to your bicycle and think that dog's having a good time keeping up with you.
I know.
Hey, guy. Hey, let's go for a run.
Yeah.
Yeah, you ride, I won. Okay, yeah, that's a good plan.
If you want to bring your dog with you when you're running or you're on a bike, create a cart. Bring him along. If you want him just for the company, you're not making him healthier. You're probably shortening his life.
Yeah. Or her.
Yes.
Hey, how about a trip to Antarctica?
Pretty soon it's going to happen. There'll be palm trees.
Well, don't say that. No one lives in Antarctica full time. It's two seasons, summer and winter. Only the world's most dedicated researchers attempt to outlast the winter 6 months of darkness and temperatures that fall as low as minus 129 F. That's incredible. But still, thousands of tourists flock to Antarctica every year to catch glimpses of its beautiful frozen landscapes. It's a fascinating area because it's so remote, says Peter Fretwell, a geographer with the British Antarctic Survey. It's probably one of the least exploited areas in the world. For example, Antarctica is the last spring of the British Antarctic Survey put together the most detailed map of what Antarctica looks like beneath all its ice and snow. The map, which comes from seismic, bathymetric, and satellite data, reveals that a tough beneath Bird Glacier is 1,300 feet deeper than anyone thought. At 1.8 miles deep, it's the lowest point on any continent.
Wow.
Second, it's a meteorite mecca. Meteorites suffer less damage when they impact snow and are easier to find against the white backdrop, making the continent the top spot for space rock hunters.
Oh, wow.
Scientists are studying the 60,000 extraterrestrial rocks collected from the Transantarctic Mountains to learn about the materials that make up asteroids and planets, as well as what conditions were like in our solar system's early days.
Yeah.
Three, there are extreme life forms, as one would expect. In January, scientists discovered microbes living in Lake Willan, a shallow body of water buried under a half mile of ice. Buried under a half mile of ice. In perpetual darkness and cold, the bacterial ecosystem likely has been isolated from the surface for thousands of years.
Of course.
That's pretty neat stuff.
I would think millennia and millennia.
Yep.
Wow. I wonder what they're going to bring up that'll wipe us out.
What was that movie? The little spot on the satellite? Oh, well.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Number four, lab on ice. As the Brunt ice shelf slowly migrates towards the sea, it has left the Halley V research station in danger of floating away on an iceberg. The new Halley 6 station, TechWatch, May 13, that's in one of their articles, is fitted onto skis so it can periodically be towed inland to safety. So there is a lab on skis that can be pulled around, which you can visit. And five, cool running. Every year, people from all over the world don snowsuits to run the Antarctic Ice Marathon.
They're insane.
They're insane. Meltdown with the warm ocean currents and streaming beneath it and warm air above, Pine Island is sliding into the sea at 2.5 miles per year, making it Antarctica's fastest melting glacier.
Yeesh.
And finally, the South Shetland Islands house research stations from about a dozen countries. 50,000 tourists visit the islands annually to explore magnificent desolation. So, if you're planning a trip, you have nothing better to do, and lots of disposable income, who does that remind you of? You can go to Antarctica.
Do you know what I would like? I wish someone could or would invent a really, really safe tourist submarine that would take us to the great depths of the ocean.
Oh, yeah, like the Mariana Trenches and stuff?
Because the ocean is still 95% unknown.
The last frontier. The final frontier,
yeah.
Really.
You see things under there. It's like, you know, with a little bit of imagination, that's how I think some of these great designers for science fiction films get their ideas for alien life forms,
right,
and things like that. You see things under there that are just bizarre.
Not to mention those incredibly giant squids that people have been finding. Oh,
and the
God.
New giant shark they found on the bottom, you know, this mile underneath the water. Unbelievable.
Just incredible. Yeah, that's a good idea. Get your own yellow submarine that can take a few tourists down. Again,
I'd like to go beneath the sea.
I'd like
to see an octopus's garden.
Yeah, in the shade. Because it would be.
Hey, happy we would be.
How happy we would be.
If we could see that. Oh, I have to tell you, Frank.
I'm listening.
Have you been to Las Vegas?
Yes.
Have you been to the Cirque du Soleil Beatles Love Show?
No, but I have the soundtrack.
Me too. Nothing prepares you for the magnanimity of the sound in that theater.
In the theater, yeah.
You can hear them intaking and exhaling their breaths before and after their singing. You can hear the squeak. You can hear everything. It is nothing. I was in heaven. I'm a huge Beatles fan. I think they are the pop geniuses, sublime.
Agreed.
It's ridiculous. There are the Beatles and there are everybody else. And you hear that music as with
and the
way
they
system.
Strung it together and reposited all of it.
Yeah.
It's just phenomenal. It's
phenomenal. You know, taking live cuts, telecast cuts, studio cuts, alternate takes, and making it this, you know, it's a love and peace theme, and it's really done. They do it so well, it's ridiculous.
No, I have not seen that.
One of the ultimate moments of the show is towards the end, this white, sort of looks like satin, maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but this white cloth starts coming out of the center, and members of the Cirque du Soleil start running with it. Eventually, they cover the entire audience on the first level.
Really?
And you can't believe it. You see this thing cut, and you're underneath it. You put your hands up, and there's 1,000 people underneath this giant thing. And then the song that's being done finishes, and it must be on some sort of a machine that wraps it back up, because all of a sudden it's sort of like floating and being pulled down to the center of the stage and
disappears. Do you remember what song?
No, I was so amazed by it. I actually lost track of what song it was.
Oh, wow.
Because I see this thing coming, and it's over your head, and you're looking at it, and everybody's laughing. It was a magnificent show.
Were you on the first level?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So we got covered. It was a great show, and I could highly recommend it. And I was speaking about the Beatles to a couple of folks the other day, and you could probably testify to this. One fellow that I know, I actually never knew. I work with him on my day job, and I never knew he was a drummer, and he's played professionally. And we were talking, and it started off, we were talking about the Beatles, you know, different things.
Uh-huh.
I said I had just found something on the internet. Somebody has uploaded every telecast the Beatles ever did.
Really?
In a 5-CD box set. It's not for sale. It looks like it's for listening. If you want to listen to it, click on it. And it's every telecast. And I was talking about that, and I said, oh, that's really great. And this guy goes, you know, it's really... And I mentioned a song, and he goes, Ringo is great on that. He goes, I get so angry at the people, the ignoramuses, who parrot something they heard a long time ago, that Ringo was not a good drummer. He goes...
Yeah, I've heard that.
I'm a good drummer. And I've drummed along with Beatles songs for years. He goes, trust me, Ringo was a good drummer.
Oh, I agree. I agree. There's just things that are just difficult to keep up with.
Yeah.
You know, and tasteful. And there's another thing. You know, a lot of people think playing drums, you play a lot of drums to make a song. Uh-uh.
No.
It's knowing when, where, you know, and how it fits in. And just this week, I too was on vacation. And when I go to the beach, I plug in an iPod mm-hmm. and fall asleep. But I was listening to old Beatles stuff. And I was in particular, I don't know why, maybe because I subconsciously I know I was going to do the side quest and have this discussion. But I was so impressed with the times Ringo didn't play.
Yeah.
Okay, when he was there.
His sense of space playing behind. And
he said, why would he select that? But it worked.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was innate genius,
yeah,
or if he was cognizant of what he was doing.
Yeah. But
nevertheless,
it worked.
Yeah.
And people don't, and I've also heard some people, and this is the science of music, folks.
Yeah, that's what it is.
When people have talked, I've heard people who are ignorant, and I don't mean that in a pejorative sense. They truly are ignorant. They don't know
what
goes into the musical makeup of things. who go, oh, he's not a musician, he's a drummer. And you get a,
don't even start there.
You get a lot of that as a vocalist too. Oh, you're not a musician, you're a singer. Okay. Yes. Yes, you're right. You know.
Yeah. Right.
There's no use arguing or taking the time out to explain.
We both have a dear friend who says both, at least one of those things.
Yeah.
All the time.
Well, drumming to me is like so integral to a band. Bass player too, that rhythm section is, but you know, like you said, knowing when not to play, giving space, filling in space correctly.
Right.
It's music making, playing behind the beat, pushing the beat, getting in front of the beat, playing right on the beat if it's called for.
That's right.
At a time. Some of the intricate drum patterns that can make a music exotic. Take Ringo's drum patterns out of the song Rain. It's boring.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Same thing with, believe it or not, Something.
Yeah.
You know, Something. I don't know where that came from. Because somebody had to, and here's the mind-blowing part of all music. You're sitting in a studio, and somebody set up a chord pattern and lyrics, but now you got to make all that work together with the musicians. Where did that come from?
Yeah.
That's the genius. Who thought of it?
I want you to be playing pretty square on the floor and fill this in with some paradiddies here, you know?
Yeah.
You know, okay. And it's like, you make it work. The other thing I happen to mention, and I still have high respect, I love the White Album.
Yeah, that's what I listen to.
One of my favorite records. It is not a great album conceptually. It doesn't fit together.
Right.
But as I have told people over the years, it is the template with that album. Sgt. Pepper was great. I think the greatest Beatles album was Revolver. Sgt. Pepper changed the culture in a lot of ways.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The White Album is their stealth jet template for every music.
Every type of music that's out there today.
Right. Exactly.
Everything.
You have singer-songwriter, you have country rock, you have punk, you have metal, avant-garde, you have power ballad stuff, everything.
And speaking of avant-garde, I deliberately listened to Number 9.
Yeah.
Because I think, I don't know if you were there, but we did see a cover band at the New Jersey Performing Arts Center do the White Album
and
cover to
that.
Cover, note for note.
Yeah.
And I was amazed at when they did it, but I didn't hear everything, and I never would hear everything in Number 9 because who cared at the time?
Yeah, it was cut up. They used tape.
But avant-garde. But, you know, and then I listened to it sitting on the beach, and I said, wow, there's a lot of stuff in there.
Yeah.
You know, and again, who came up with it? Who thought of it? Obviously, it was, I don't know, obviously nothing. So, but anyway,
The guy who was into avant-garde, who explored it first, very often was Paul.
Right.
He was pretty, even though what he liked to do was a lot of the power, you know,
ballads and stuff like that, yeah.
But he was the guy who would investigate it. But in all fairness, John Lennon would be the guy, you know, he'd bring it to John,
he'd
and John would go,
oh,
I didn't know. He'd take it and run with it.
Yeah, he'd run with it.
Interesting
and
guy.
To some extent, George.
Yeah.
To some extent, George, so.
They were all great. You know, and again, that was the other thing we were talking. Oh, they weren't great musicians. And I went, have you never listened? Paul McCartney changed the way people played bass in rock and roll.
He did.
He was a frustrated lead guitarist.
Boom, 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 boom. Oh,
you know, he
goodness.
Played contrapuntal bass lead lines to a degree. And he would do it and keep the beat, too.
And sing.
Yeah, and sing. You know, and guitar solos. The thing was, these guys, what made their genius is they were all accomplished on their instruments. Were they the greatest players of their instrument? No. Were they good enough to hang with anybody? I say yes, but they sublimated their egos for the good of the whole.
That's right. As short as it was.
Yeah.
As brief as it was.
As brief as it was in retrospect.
Yep.
Do you think, have we bored you enough waxing rhapsodic with our love of the Beatles?
How about cocaine? French authorities found 1.4 tons of cocaine in 31 unclaimed suitcases on a flight from Caracas. $270 million.
I'm shocked. Caracas?
That's huge. But there have been even bigger coke hauls. 1989, 21.4 tons in L.A. in a warehouse. 20 tons in 2007, the Coast Guard stopped a Panamanian ship with $600 million worth of the drug. 14 tons in 1984, Colombia, big surprise. And 13.8 tons, again in Colombia, on a river. Incredible stuff. But here's a sad note.
That's a lot of cocaine.
It is. Even the Beatles couldn't have done all that.
No.
In South Africa, there have been, this year, 688 rhinos killed. Rhinoceroses killed. That's up from 668 in all of 2012.
There are some people, folks, who are so poor, they don't care if they extinct a species because they need the
it's
money.
It's unbelievable. This is all the escalation of illegal trade in the horns.
Yeah.
You know, it's just very, very sad. It's just incredible stuff.
You know, I wish I had enough time, but really, we do not have enough time. You mentioned cocaine. There's an article. I'm going to have to do it the next time we do PsyQuest, The Rational Choices of Crack Addicts. Now, that may seem like a conundrum or a paradox, but that's just the title of this article by John Tierney in the New York Times, a study of crack addiction.
Wow.
But it's much too long for us to get into now. We have about 3 minutes, if that.
Well, let's take the 3 minutes and say goodbye to some very incredible people. Ken Norton, if you recall, the heavyweight champ.
Ken Norton, he was a real stand-up guy.
He really was.
Had that great fight with Muhammad Ali.
Yep, broke his jaw.
Broke Muhammad Ali's jaw, and both of them. It was a great fight because they both got beat up, and Muhammad Ali, I just never got people who said the guy wasn't a great puncher or wasn't a tough guy.
Who, Ali?
Ali.
Well, in the mid-60s, a lot of talk about a great fighter out of the boxing amateur ranks named Ken Norton. He went pro, and if he hadn't, he would have been an Olympic gold medalist.
Yeah.
Died on September 18th at the age of 70. He had a weird style of crossing his right hand over his face, throwing a wild left hand, but he had a purpose. You couldn't get out of the way.
Yeah.
He would bend down, you'd follow him with your head, and he'd throw the overhand right. He'd hit you hard and hit you with five or six more. Eventually, he would wear you down. It was a great style, and that's what caused Muhammad Ali a lot of trouble in 73.
Caused a lot of people a lot of trouble. And for those of you who've never seen the movie, if you like Django Unchained, you'll love Mandingo with Ken Norton.
Yeah.
A lot of people say that it was a crassly exploitative movie. It may or may not have been, but I think it pretty accurately described a certain sordid, seedy
side
of slavery.
Yep.
It was a bit over the top, but Ken Norton slept walk through the movie. I shouldn't say that. He tried his best. He was not an actor. He was a boxer.
Exactly.
His acting was very good for a boxer.
There you go. He broke Norton's Ali's jaw in 73. He hit Ali with one shot, hit him another, and just wore him down. The next two fights with Ali and his 78 fight with Larry Holmes were the most outstanding 15-rounders in the history of the sport. More than that, he was a wonderful guy.
And his son played professional football.
Yep. Oh, yeah. That's right. Forgot about that. The guy who, another goodbye we could say is to Hiroshi Yamauchi. He was 85, president since 1949 of the giant Nintendo company.
Ooh.
Family-owned playing card company when he took the job at the age of 22. He later became the majority owner of the Seattle Mariners. Did not know that.
Now I know why Ichiro played there.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
Hey, and of course, we all know about our buddy Mariano Rivera. What an incredible send-off.
You know, I was telling people years ago, I said, you know, it's good to be alive in these times. There are some great athletes out there and ones who aren't doing steroids. And one of them is Mariano Rivera, who is the Babe Ruth of his
field,
which is relief pitchers. The guy was great. He was human, too, but...
And humble.
Incredibly humble, very religious, and he's looking forward to devoting the rest of his life to his religious pursuits and helping people.
Yep, yep. So,
we have time for about one more, I think, Frank. You have another person there?
Sure. We have Jackie Lomax.
Oh, the first guy signed to the Beatles Apple label.
Oh, my God. You know everything.
Jackie was great. I was so upset. He was, was he, 68?
69. British rocker promoted by the Beatles, best known for his 1968 single, Sour Milk Sea.
Yep, written by George Harrison. Sorry.
That's great, John. I mean, it's just, wow, you're stunning sometimes.
Jackie Lomax, rest in peace. Yep. I wish I had that with me right now. I didn't know you were going to bring that up. But unfortunately, that is it for this week's edition of SideQuest. I thank Frank Pilardo for riding in with the Calvary to save you from having to put up with me alone for an hour. And thank the fine folks at the radio stations that stream SideQuest, and it can also be found at archive.org. All of these shows are archived at archive.org. And as usual, we're going to let the Traveling Wilburys take us out with the theme for something really important.
Goodbye for this week.